This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, October 20th, 2024. Use what you've got.
Well, good morning, Connection Church.
Morning.
Isn't this just a glorious day to be part of God's creation? Amen?
Amen.
There at home? Amen. 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 Golly day, it's a great day. So we're continuing our series this week three of one-offs. One-offs are those messages that are just standalone, nothing before, nothing after. The only thing that ties them together is the title of the series, one-offs, okay? So today we're going to be talking about using what you've got.
Say using what you've got.
Using what you've got.
Yep, that's what we're talking about. Well, good morning, Connection Church. My name is Carrie Jones.
I'm Alan Jones.
And we are two sinners who have been saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thanks for being here today. It's such an encouragement to be together, to lift our voices, to just be the body of Christ. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you for today. Today is a gift. Help us realize and treat it as a gift and try to make a difference right where we're at. So we thank you for this time. Settle us in, whether we're right in here or online. Remove any distractions so that we can feel and sense your word and presence in our lives. We pray this in your holy name. Everybody agreed and said,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I talked to you a little bit before about this. So back in September, early September, I participated in something called the Amish Bike Tour. I participated in it before. It's where people gather in Dover and then proceed to bike 16, 25, 50, 62, or 100 miles. Hello. I wear a bright yellow so nobody runs there. Or if they do, they'll know that they got something. Okay. So the reason for the 62 is because that's 100K. That's why they have the 62-mile thing there. So anyway, and it's not a race. They emphasize that. It's not a race. That's why they call it the bike tour. And there's a staggered start because you don't want everybody starting one time and then some people coming in an hour and some people coming in 8 hours later. So they have the 100-milers go first thing and staggered on through anyway. So what that means is you got to decide before the race starts how long you're going to go, you know? So if you say, I'm going to go 50 and then at 25, you're like dying. Good luck because, I mean, you're out there and you're not on the 50-mile trail. You're on the 25 in the map anyway. So I said, okay, I've done it a couple times before. I'm going to do 50 miles this year. I worked a little bit, not probably enough, but I worked a little bit at the end of summer there. And anyway, so we get started. And you start right there at the in Dover, there at the mall, you know, in Dover. Not the store mall, but the legislative mall, you know, where the grass is. And you go and you wind out and end up outside City Limits. And I'm hanging pretty good, you know. There's some before me and some after me. There's a large group going on this 50-mile thing. A large group. And I'm hanging there pretty good. And then as I'm riding, I'm noticing that people are passing me. And I don't mean one or two. I mean, it's like, golly day, there's a lot of people passing me. And I'm trying to assess, what is it? You know, why are they passing me? And I think, okay, I'm probably one of the older guys here, okay? You know, you got all these young bucks, you know, they got muscles in their jaws, you know, and but then there's a couple people 10, 15 years older than me to leave me in the dust. I said, well, it's not totally my age. Maybe it's my conditioning, you know? Hello, you know. So, because, you know, it slows you down, more weight and that kind of thing. Probably not. I didn't work out enough. But then some people who are bigger than I am, they're passing me and they're leaving me in the dust. I'm going, wow. And so then I look at the equipment. I'm looking at the bike I'm riding. Because I have this bike, it's like 30 years old. It's a Trek 700. They're up to Trek 7000 now. It's Trek 700. Kerry bought it for me when we lived in Seaford. And this was at a time when, I don't know what it cost, but I know it costs a lot more than we normally spend on each other for gifts. You know, I mean, this is one of those extravagant gifts we talked about a few weeks ago, you know, extravagant. And so I treasure this bicycle, and I love this bike. It's comfortable. You know, it doesn't have those, oh my gosh, just thinking about bending over for 50 miles hurts my back. You know, you sit upright. you know, doesn't have those little skinny, tiny, it's comfortable. I like riding it. And I got to thinking, you know, I see these people pass me, and actually I got thinking about this message that's ended up being for today, because what I decided was, it's not a race, so it's not about the speed. It's a comfortable ride. It's an enjoyable ride. I took time to enjoy the ride. But what it really reminded me was that we use what we've got, right? I don't need a new bike. When I got back in, Carrie said, I told her about this. She said, well, do you need a new bike? And I thought about it. I said, you know, I don't need a new bike. I'm just going to use what I've got.
Using what you've got. Well, that's important when it comes to bikes.
And a lot of money for a new one.
And yep. A lot of money for a new one. But we would have done it if you wanted that.
Yeah.
For Christmas, birthday.
For the next 30 years. All right, Alan, it's 29. You got one more birthday on there.
But, you know, using what you've got is even more important when it comes to life. Because God has wired us in a certain way. You are created by God for God, to glorify God. And so we've got to use what we've got. In the Ten Commandments, the very last commandment says this, Exodus 20:17. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. So this is saying we shouldn't want what we don't have. We shouldn't covet. Let's talk about that word covet. The Hebrew name for it is chamad. And that means to lust after or to have a strong desire for. Now, that in itself isn't bad, to have a strong desire for something, as long as it's not someone else's. Like, I wish I had that instead of those people. Or why can't I, you know, that attitude that just isn't right. It's not good to have a desire for something that actually makes us unhappy with what God's given us. It's not good to have to covet something else and not thank God for the blessings that we have, that God has given us. Everything we have is God's. It's a gift from God. You know, we think, oh yeah, I did this. No, we didn't. It's a gift from God. And so sometimes we might want something and it kind of detracts from living a content life. Contentment, what is contentment? It's a state of being that comes from trusting in God's goodness and accepting what God gives us. Anything that would take us away from that, I'm going to say, is sin, because we start down this really negative spiral and we aren't grateful for what we've been given.
Listen to the words from Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews is a book in the New Testament, second part of the Bible. Hebrews 13:5. Keep your lives free from the love of money. It's good advice. And here's the real, and be what? What is it?
Content
with what you have. Be content, be satisfied, be happy, be joyful with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. That's what's important.
We're kind of an interesting bunch as a human race. You see, we always want what we don't have. When we have like super straight hair, we want curly hair. You know, when we have curly hair, we want straight hair.
Hello.
Those who are only children might want a brother or sister. Those who have a caboodle of brothers and sisters might want to be an only child. We always seem to want the opposite. It's crazy. You know the old saying, the grass is always greener on the other side. Yeah, and actually, our grass is only greener but we don't have irrigation.
Or over the septic tank.
Well, there you go. So, be content with what you have. Use what you've got. God will never leave us. God will never abandon us. God has wired us unique, special, just the way you are. There's a great verse, one that you many of you know well. It's Psalm 23, verse 1. Would you say it with me, please? The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, my leader. Because of that, I lack nothing. When we have the Lord, we've got everything. All this other stuff can be stripped away. Jesus is always, always with us. There's no reason to covet anything that anybody else has.
So a couple of weeks ago, I shared that during a prayer time at the conference I was at in Houston early in September, I was reminded that with God, I am enough. With God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, I am enough. And let me remind you again of the same thing. With God, you are enough. Say, I am enough.
I am enough.
I am enough. That's right. And I was also reminded while I was praying there, somebody touched me on the shoulder. I was face down. They touched me on the shoulder. I shared this with you. Touched me on the shoulder, and they said, use your gifts. Use your gifts. So I put those two things together. With God, I am enough. All I got to do is use my gifts. Use my spiritual gifts. And let me remind you, with God, you're enough. Use your spiritual gifts. Use your spiritual gifts. Use what you've got. Use what you've got. Even with spiritual gifts, you know, we need to be content. Need to be content. As I've told you before, I found out about 40 years ago what my spiritual gifts were, and I don't think they've changed a whole lot. Sometimes, you know, gifts, you get different gifts, they come or go. I don't think they've changed a whole lot. I did a survey back then. My top gift was faith, as I've shared several times. I wanted it to be singing, as I've shared several times. I'm still not singing. I don't see singing in my future. It's not on the horizon. I haven't even had an inkling that it's singing, but I still want that.
Don't
I know it? Yeah. but here's the thing. What happens is if we have this spiritual gift, we get so used to it that we don't really sometimes appreciate it. You know, like people who know how to can sing, says everybody can sing. Trust me, that's not true. Or, you know, some like gift of administration, that just comes naturally to carry. Well, if you're administratively challenged, it's not so. People say, well, how can you just believe? I don't know. That's just my gift, faith. And so if you might, and all of us have faith to a certain extent, but this is like faith on steroids. It's like administrative on steroids. Or, you know people who can just sing. It's a God-given gift. You know, and so sometimes I'm not sure, at least I'll just speak for me, I appreciate, and I don't think at the time I appreciated that gift of faith, because it's part of me. I'm used to living with it. It's kind of unexciting. I mean, I didn't even think it was boring, because that's what I did. It was the same old saying. I wanted something new and exciting. Little did I know what God had in store for me with that gift of faith. And it's been a pretty wild ride, and thank you for riding along with us. Thank you for riding with us. And it continues to be a wild ride. Truth is, I can't imagine having any other gift than that faith gift as my primary. And I'm not only content, but I'm excited to see what God will do with it. Because we can't just be content. I mean, we can't want what we don't have. We need to be content with what's good. We've got to use what we're given. Amen?
Amen.
We've got to use what we're given.
So let's take a look at what the Apostle Paul says about spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12. All of you, here sitting here, and those listening to us, are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, Then those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, those who speak unknown languages. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts.
And so this is not a complete list. You may have a gift and didn't see it up there. This isn't the complete list of gifts. This is just what's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, 27-31. Other places in the Bible, including earlier in Corinthians and then in Romans and I think in Ephesians, there are other gifts that give a more complete list. I think if you count them up, there's like something like 27 or something like that. You know, they include things like hospitality. Maybe that's your gift. Or craftsmanship. Or music. Hello. Helping. Service. Mercy. Exhortation, which means encouragement. Administration. Evangelism. Intercessory prayer. Praying on behalf of another. Witnessing. You know, that doesn't mean standing in a court of law, but it means sharing your faith. Getting out there and witnessing about Jesus Christ, giving, and more. Now, we all can do, you know, all of us are called to witness, but this is that gift of witness where you're not thinking twice about it. You're just, it's just part of you, and like those other things. No one person has all the gifts. No one person has all the gifts. That's just not how it works. But every believer in Christ has at least one gift, and oftentimes more than one. But we don't get them all because we need to work together.
So the church is like a body, and they call it the body of Christ. That's what Paul calls it. And so in the body, in this body, Connection Community Church, actually we have all the gifts we need to live out the mission that God calls us to, which is to connect people with Jesus and the new life he offers. We have everything right here. The thing is that we have to use them. We have to offer the gifts, and we have to know what they are. You know, when we say yes to Jesus, we are each given one, two, or more gifts to use to build up the body of Christ and to be used for other people. So just like the Amish bike tour, Alan didn't need another bike. He used the one he had. And so we need to use the gifts that God gives us. Remember, you are enough. You are absolutely enough. But we've got to use what we've got.
The challenge, at least this is...
Oh, I forgot something. I just want to say this. This is so exciting. So in the last 2 months, September and October, there have been five people in this congregation who have done a spiritual gifts discovery. They wanted to know how God has wired them. And so this is so exciting because one person, it was identified that it was administration and helps. And when I look at what she's doing around this church, that absolutely mirrors what her spiritual gifts are. Somebody else discovered leadership, and he is going to join our youth ministry team. Woo woo! Somebody else has a passion for giving, financial giving, but there's even more like giving of herself. And she wants to join Amy and be with the kids in the gym. Oh my goodness, you see how we have needs, and now people are filling those needs. Another friend expressed that her top gift was administration and mercy, and feels God is calling her to outreach ministry. And yet another person feels that her gift is helps and mercy and wants to greet at the front door and welcome people when they come in. Do you see how all, with those five people, it's a bunch of different gifts that will build up our church, and they are going to get so much satisfaction because they're using what God has given them. It was so exciting. I can't wait for it all to come together. I'm going to meet with them, and it's going to be great. Yeah. That was my first call. When I was called to be a pastor, sorry, Alan. When I was called to be a pastor, it wasn't to preach. It was to help people identify their gifts and use them for God. And that's what I did in the other church for a long time. My passion is that we each live into the purpose that God has for each one of us. Okay. I'm done. No.
See, the challenge, if we've never really used those spiritual gifts, is there's a fear factor. Let me encourage each and every one of you here. I know there's some here who, you come every week maybe, or every once a month, once every two, whatever, and you're in worship, but we need you to use your spiritual gifts. We need you in worship, but we also need you to be working with each other in the church. We need all of those gifts in action. And so if you're not involved in, quote, church life, call the office, call Carrie. Don't call me, no. Call Carrie or the office. And let us
Administration's my gift, not his.
Yeah. I encourage you strongly because you're only getting half, you're not getting the full enjoyment of a life in Christ. If you just come and listening, you got to get in there. You got to play the game. And see, I know part of it is there's a fear factor there if you've never done it, if you've never really stepped out in your gift. There's a fear factor. I know that. You say, I've never done that before. There's often a fear of, I've never done that before. How do I know what it's going to be? I had this back at our previous church. Before we went into ministry, we had this adult Sunday school class at 9:45. It was a large class. There were like 30 or 40 in this class, if not more. And the preacher always preached that class. Always. Until we started a new service at 9:45, and preacher could no longer do two things at once. And I guess he figured he was supposed to preach or something on Sunday morning, so that's what he chose to do. And this class then was in need of a teacher, and he asked me to teach it. I mean, who am I to teach the pastor's class? Come on. I mean, I was in the class. I was a student in that class, and I think I had subbed once or twice while he was on vacation. But what do I know? Who am I to teach this class? Anyway, I mean, I know. I'd been in the class. I taught public school for 4 years, and I did know I had the spiritual gift of teaching. But, you know, even with all that, there's still that. Pastor's shoes are big shoes to fill. You know what I mean? Because this guy was a good teacher. He was a very good teacher. But he's given me a chance to lead the class. And so I did it with God's help and with, you know, and I came to realize just how important using one's spiritual gifts are, because having that gift of teaching was invaluable. I mean, I couldn't have done it without having that gift, you know, and having very forgiving class of people there, you know, but you got to be willing to step out in faith. Step out in faith to use that spiritual gift, maybe in a way that you've never used it before. Use that gift. Step into your spiritual gift zone.
And so as I look across all of you, a lot of you are using your gifts. Some are visible, and some are behind the scenes. And it is so awesome to be in ministry with each one of you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, if you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, talk to me. I can help with this. And it's not hard. And so I'll be back in the lobby after this service and just say, hey, I'm interested. I'm going to send you something and then we're going to talk about it. That's it. It's that easy. Because we need each other. And we're here to live out our mission to connect people with Jesus and the new life he offers, but it takes all of us.
Okay. There you go. Book of Acts, second chapter, 32 through 33. God raised Jesus from the dead, and we were all witnesses of this. Now he is exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven at God's right hand. And the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today.
And so that's Peter talking. This is Peter. He was formerly the fisherman. Now he's a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. And he's using his gifts for the glory of the Lord. He was the one who denied Jesus, and now he is standing on the foundation that Jesus is Lord. Even in spite of the opposition, he is so solid in this. And so I'm sure there weren't spiritual gifts inventories at that point, but the Holy Spirit had come, and the Holy Spirit filled him, and he had this boldness to preach and to teach, to put all that God had given him, all that Jesus had poured into him, into practice. And so for a while, when we knew Peter, he was really wobbly in the faith. But then when the Holy Spirit really came and filled him, he was so strong and he was able to use what God gave him. True for us. As we're getting to know God a little bit, we might be a little bit wobbly in our faith. But we just need to keep walking and keep growing and keep getting to know Jesus, because you are here on this earth on purpose. On purpose. Everybody who believes in Jesus Christ has been given a gift, not to keep quiet as far as hoarding that gift, but to share. We're excited about what's next here at Connection as we discover spiritual gifts.
Mm-hmm. So to finish what we started with, I finished the 50-mile Amish bike tour. I was a little wobbly at the end, but I finished it. Wasn't easy, but I finished. My bike wasn't the fastest. It wasn't the newest. It wasn't the shiniest. It wasn't the lightest. But you know, none of that mattered. None of that mattered. My goal was to finish the 50 miles, and that's just what I did with the bike that I had, with God's help. I finished because I just used what I had.
So to just conclude, you are enough. You are enough. Use what you've got. The good news of Jesus Christ. Let's live it. Let's believe it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you so much for coming into our lives, for being our Lord and Savior. And when we say yes to you, thank you for your Holy Spirit that fills us. We are never, ever alone. And your Holy Spirit gives us a gift to share. Thank you that each one of us has been given a purpose and a plan. Help us live into that. Those of us who are learning and growing, we never stop. So thank you for each day that we get to know you more through scripture, through small group, through serving, through giving. You are an awesome God. God, I pray that we make room for you. We pray this in the name of the Father and the Son, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, everybody agreed and said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church. Connecting people with Jesus and the new life he offers.